Okay, so here's what we're going to do. Let's start with prayer, because that seems like a good way to start all things that are at least hopefully good. All right, Lord, thank you for this opportunity to be able to speak, to hear a voice that's hopefully from you, to tell my story, because in remembering these things, not only are we transformed personally, but that when we share them together as a community, we can come to that point of transformation, which is what you call us to. I love you, and pray right now for that peace that goes beyond understanding, as I am nervous. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Maybe I wasn't supposed to tell you guys that. I'm nervous. It's true. I'm going to first address Father's Day, because we've honored the fathers, and that's an amazing and great thing to do. And sometimes there are fathers that are just crappy, or they've done crappy things. And so just want to call that out. My dad left when my mom was pregnant. And so this is a hard day for me. So to be speaking on this day, I'm really glad I have another topic to talk about rather than having to do that. So happy Father's Day to those who are good fathers, who try to be good fathers, and even to my father who's come back in the picture. He came back when I was 9. I know that seems like, oh, that was still a good while ago, but there was still relational damage that was done. But this is a good time for an honest lament. I think if you've had issues with your fathers, then you have this time, and you rightfully so can take that time to lament and just tell God that sucks. That's okay. These songs like "You're a Good, Good Father" have been a challenge to me throughout the time. Just seeing God as Father has been tricky, but He is a good Father. And I mean, when it even talks about like how good is God that He would give you gifts that even your Father who wants to give you good gifts would give, and so much greater than those who don't even give you any gifts at all. So, I mean, that part's not included. Added by Matt, not interested putting that in. But it also reminds me that I've come to understand my true identity as not being the son of my earthly father, my biological father, but as a son of God. I'm called beloved, and I'm His, and you are too. So embrace it. It's good news. It also gives me gratitude for my mom. She raised me as a single mom, and I grew up in a community of single moms, which was kind of interesting and crazy. So at these times, it's also a good point for me to reflect and thank you, or thank those people. So I would also like to extend that. Let's give a round of applause for the moms and such that are taking that, or the people who've adopted kids. So. And already my mouth is dry, so it's under my hat, I think. I'm just going to go ahead and drink some water. Thanks. Okay. Well, this unscrews forever. So speaking of moms, mine gave birth to me. I don't know about your guys's. But she gave birth to me. And actually, I'll just preface this. So she gave birth to me, and I have spina bifida. Y'all have seen me walking around with a crutch, walking at a good, strong 5 feet, you know, not your general height for an average-sized dude. But here I am. I was born, and I am living with spina bifida. And that is an important distinction that I want to call out. Really what I'm here to like speak about today, or is like the main gist of the topic, is the inclusion of people with disabilities within our church. Because I think it's very important. And so apparently does Jesus. So you better too. Just saying. So spina bifida, I'll just tell you a little bit about it real quick so you have a better understanding. Spina bifida is a birth defect rather than just like something that comes later in life. It happens when the spine is not completely formed at the time of birth. There are amazing technologies these days where they are able to do in utero surgery, meaning like when the baby yet hasn't been born, they're still able to operate on it and to help it along, because this occurs really early in the pregnancy. Also, if any women are looking to become pregnant, folic acid, start taking it now, because a lack of that is primarily likely what is the result of being born with spina bifida. And it's a relatively common thing. What's not relatively common is that, I'll say it. There are three different types too. Spina bifida occulta, spina bifida meningocele, and spina bifida myelomeningocele, which is what I have. Typically the most severe form, because occulta, your spine isn't formed. I'll do this. In meningocele, there's a little sac of like nerve fluid, or like the fluid that surrounds your spine outside of your body. And in mine, myelomeningocele, there's actual nerves that are outside of your body when you're born. This resulted in me having to have my first surgery when I was 18 hours old. And I went on to have 26 more surgeries later on. For me, though, this is actually even a source of gratitude in a weird way. Because only like 8% of people who have this severity, which also depends on where it happens in your spine. Mine is relatively low. Only 8% or so don't have hydrocephalus, which is fluid in the brain, which generally results in having some cognitive disabilities as well. As you can tell, I'm up here speaking well, hopefully. And so I don't have a shunt, which is typically what people need to help drain that fluid into their abdomen. And most people are wheelchair bound, which I was told I was supposed to be for the rest of my life when I was born. Or they told my mom that. They weren't speaking to me in medical terms as an infant. Anyway, so here I am. I'm standing using, I have an ankle brace, I have a crutch, and I deal with it on a daily basis. But it's also impacted my faith and my life in general too. So I want to go through a little bit of that. I don't have slides for you, so sorry guys, I wasn't on top of that. But I have a few phases to go through of Matt's life. I am a people or a person, so I'm a voice of a person, only mine. So again, my speaking is about my experience. It's not prescriptive, it's not descriptive of anyone else's but mine, but this is it. So, phase one, I do what I want. That's everyone's phase one. Like I said, the doctor said I'm not supposed to walk. And throughout my life, I had four body casts that I was in. One of them was during the summer, and with chicken pox, that was the worst. I was using like a ruler and a fork sometimes. Body cast. I mean, from my feet up to my chest, about, because they were doing operations on my spine and on my hips. Different things there. So, it's fine. Thanks, Terry, though. Yeah, so I had surgeries to help with that and body casts. Another one was during the blizzard of 91, the Halloween blizzard of 91. Specifically, the only outfit I could wear, a costume, was a clown, because the pants were big enough. And my mom was pulling me around in our townhouse area in a wagon, because I was in a body cast, and then propping me up at the door to say, trick or treat. So I was pretty adorable. It's true. yeah, exactly. So that was awesome. No, not always. Like I said, I was like, I do what I want. One of my casts even broke in the middle because I was army crawling or propping myself up on the couch and it cracked. And so they're like, oh man, gotta go in. And they put a metal bar in there because I was not gonna let a body cast slow me down. That's phase one. Phase two, and I do what I want lasted for a good while. So yeah. Phase two, I'll say in 1990s, late 90s, phase two is called give them something to stare at. I have spina bifida. Obviously, people are looking at me. Oh, I didn't bring the piece of paper. I, in 1999, was the United Way poster child for Kandi Ohi County of Minnesota. Yeah. The picture I was going to hold up here had me with like frosted tips in my hair and like jean shorts, and I was crawling up the playground because they're like, disabled people can't do that, but you can. Yeah, no, it's whatever. I was climbing up the playground. I had like neon green braces And with my initials in the back, and yeah, because I was like, hey, if they're going to stare anyway, they might as well be entertained and have something to stare at. So I also, on my backpack, which I wore around all the time, wrote on there, you all laugh at me because I'm different, and I laugh at you because you're all the same.
Boom.
Boom. So one of those things. Embracing my differences was a strong theme at that point. And then I hit phase three, and I don't know how it entirely happened, but I got to a point where someone saying to me, I don't think of you as disabled, was like at once the highest compliment that I could receive, because I wanted to pretend like I didn't have anything. I'm just like you guys. I can do whatever you can and whatever I want and all that kind of stuff. So to say I don't think of you as disabled, both the highest compliment, but also was like encouraging me, unbeknownst to folks, to feel shame for my disability when it was apparent. Like times when it was hard for me to walk, or I couldn't go as far, or I had to tell people like, I can't do that, or I would just go along with it, but being slowing everyone down, that was really hard. I had a girlfriend in high school, believe it or not. she was pretty great, except for when she cheated on me, and when she, like, throughout the process, we never talked about my disability. We like to pretend that it wasn't there. I like to pretend it's not there and just move along. We don't have to address it. We don't have to talk about it. We're just normal high school boyfriend and girlfriend. But yeah, it's like I loved that, but then it also made me, again, when I thought about my disability, hate that. And when you hate that so much, it's hard not to hate a part of yourself, because it is a part of yourself, which I was in denial of for so long. Yeah. Another thing that a lot of people say is everything happens for a reason. I think it's really comforting to a lot of people, because when tragedy happens, you want to think everything happens for a reason. That, like, of course this happened so that who knows what, people could be saved or all these things. But then you think about the people that this happened to. Spina bifida, when people are like, oh, you have spina bifida for a reason. Like, to say that, even if part of it might be true, I don't know, but to say that really was painful, because then it skewed my picture of God and thinking that God wants me to hurt, that God wants me to suffer in these ways. And then I came to know a God who doesn't, like a God who calls me beloved, who wants me to be well, a God who seeks goodness for me and wants goodness for me. And while that like doesn't mean that I'm healed fully, there have been moments of healing. There have been moments of greatness and joy and reflection in this gratitude of like, I have mobility of my arms. I look like a monkey sometimes, and that's cool. Like, I can swing on jungle gyms. I can climb stuff, and it doesn't matter. Like, I've got all this mobility and things that I can be thankful for, and I don't need people's pity. You know, that's the other thing. I went to Gillette Children's Hospital, which is great for anyone just saying this. They have a campaign right now called Cure Pity, because a lot of people don't need cures or, you know, whatever, but don't need your pity, right? We want to cure the pity aspect. Pity, again, we were talking, I don't know if we were talking, it's a positional thing. Pity looks down. Pity is sympathy rather than empathy. Empathy looks like being with people. And a lot of what we're going to be looking at, too, as part of this like ministry in an inclusive church, is being with people, not like doing it to them or for them. Thank you. Amen. Yes. So I'll try to get through these last phases quickly. But once again, I came back to acceptance. And this was partly due or in part to two people, Damaris, my wife, whom you all may know. I'm just going to give her a round of applause right now. and my friend Alex. And there was one night in particular, we found out that all of us had the same surgery at the same hospital, which was called a derotation osteotomy. Basically, our legs, which is strangely, our legs went different ways. I think that's what it's called anyway, and you might be able to correct me, Dean or Janae, but mine were out, helped him go in, helped him go out. Anyway, we have matching scars on our hips, which is great. So it was cool to have people who have gone through stuff and to be able to speak to that. Alex, my friend, is an incomplete quadriplegic, which means that she has limited mobility in all four of her extremities. Hers was a result of having a spinal cord injury, either pre, during, or immediately post-birth. So her hands are a little tighter. She looks a little more normal than I do, but when she starts walking, you can tell her gait's a little off. And actually, right now, she's in a wheelchair, but has an awesome service dog named Bright. That's pretty great too. So anyway, we'll get to those later. But she helped me call out my disability, to be able to say that I have it, to be able to say it's a part of me, to be able to say that it affects me. That not only in the way that I perceive myself, but in the way that others perceive me. A lot of disability is actually institutionalized, in that it's like our world is not built to be accessible generally. And if it is, it's through accommodations like an elevator that sometimes people put junk in back there. Don't do it. Sorry. There's a couple months ago at one point, it was being used for a storage closet, and I about blew it. So let's not do that. She helped me to call it out, though. And that actually resulted even being part of a panel at Northwestern University when they were doing a Disabilities Awareness Week. I got to go up there with her as people who had had it from birth, along with two other people who had received injuries during their life that resulted in having a disability. Very different stories. And another thing that we'll like keep coming back to, and when I say like we'll come back to all these kind of things, this is an ongoing thing. This isn't me up here speaking for 20 minutes today. This is a part of our church life. And so when I'm saying some of this, but like it's a lot of these are individual cases, and everyone's got something different. Even people have spina bifida, myelomeningocele, like I do. Such a wide range of experiences and disability. All this has happened. So I'm going to get through this too. There was one time I prayed for healing. Not to say that I haven't before, but this was a different time. I was at a church where someone was visiting from a place where they had specifically prayed for people whose legs were like one leg was shorter than another, and they were like seeing miracles and healings, that the leg was able to be extended, and that like I'm like, this is amazing, this is beautiful, I've got that too. And so I felt like I went all in. I like sold myself out to this healing. But I also sold myself out to, if God doesn't heal me in this moment, screw you, God. And I didn't realize it until after it didn't happen. There was prayer. We were praying for a while, and it didn't happen, and that broke me. Sometimes I feel even more so than the disability itself. When I put it on the back burner and when I can say, like, oh, I'm just moving through life, that's one thing. And then when it's very apparent and in my face that, like, this is here, and at least for now it's here to stay, like, that hurts sometimes. And that's another thing that we can take time to lament. Not everyone has disabilities as severe as I do. Some are learning disabilities, some are cognitive. There's a whole crazy range. And any places where you feel weakness, where you feel like, at some point, you can call that out and you can say it sucks. And you can give that to God. I know if I've been angry with God and he can take it. And I have, had so many different range of emotions with this. But I've also experienced love and fantastic things from God and from a community who cares about me and is willing to do what's needed. In times, which kind of bring, I will say, I sorry, there's so much. I don't want to say it. I went to Pachem in Terrace on a silent retreat, which for me as an extrovert, sounds terrible most times. But if you guys know Natalie Potts at all, some of you do, some of you don't, she's a dear friend, and she went to Potsdam one time and spoke about it, like sitting up here like I am. And for some reason it clicked, and I was like, I need to do this. And I had a weekend, and to make a long story short, I ended up having healing from those walls that had been built up from that hurt and of healing. And God didn't say like, oh, you're going to be healed and everything's going to be okay in this way. But he said, I'm with you. And that like took so much. He didn't want me even to tear down the walls. We'd sing the song, you know, I want to know you. And part of it's tear down the walls. I'm sure I've shared this before, but he didn't want me to tear down the walls. What he wanted for me in that instant was to open the door of my heart and to have him come in and sit there where he belongs, like in that space, to be able to help guide me, to bring me that peace, to bring me that love, and help me feel what I need to feel as a child of his. So I'm going to give praise for that moment because that was awesome. Yeah. Okay. And so through that, I've been able to move into this next and current phase of my life, which had started a little while back, but is what I like to want to call advocacy. So I'm in a role right now, basically, you call it like church disability advocate. And if anyone wants to join me, let me know. But as far as like even my personal mission statement, above accommodations for what people need, I want to make this church and this body as accessible as possible. So if we move different buildings, if we, you know, whatever we do, man, it's not even just in the physical accessibility it's in, and I'm being completely hypocritical right now, sometimes being able to provide slides for the verses and all these things. So I want to put a call out right now to, if anyone has any kind of disability, whether seen or unseen, you can talk to me. You don't have to stand up right now. You don't have to come up to the front. Talk to me. I wanna know you. I wanna talk to you. I wanna ask you what you need and what you would like from this, what you love to do, how we can use your gifts, because that is a huge part of this. We actually, as part of the like Mennonite USA and Anabaptist Network in general, have accessibility to a deal called the Anabaptist Disabilities Network. Amazing. I didn't even know this. That they provide a lot of resources, and we've got some amazing things that we can work through. But part of their deal is really seeing that, here's their little statement. We envision accessible, inclusive, missional churches. And some missions. Whoop, whoop. Yeah, call it. Missional churches engaging and engaged by, and I think that's the part that a lot of people miss, but people with disabilities. So engaging and engaged by people with disabilities. We yearn for hospitable and healthy churches that intentionally seek to end isolation and disconnectedness of persons with disabilities and their families. That's a huge part too. Nurture the spiritual lives of people with disabilities so that they become professing and active members, and encourage the gifts of people with disabilities so that they can serve God fully. So that's what we're going to seek to do here as Third Way, as a community of folks. There are a number of verses that I'm sure we may speak further can get to, but we did come to one that we kept talking about previously from 1 Corinthians 12. That the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, they form one body, right? Sometimes our bodies look a little weird, but it's a body, and it's useful. So it is with Christ. Those parts of the body that even seem to be weaker are indispensable. So, yeah. Thanks be to God for that. I'll just wrap it up right here by, again, just saying, come talk to me. Email me, just MatthewAxelson@gmail.com. Really easy. And I would love to be able to connect with you guys and help out in any ways that you need, because that's what we're called to do as a family. Thanks.